Welcome to the Nova Churches podcast. We are a vibrant, dynamic, multicultural church in Alexandria, Virginia. Join us at 11 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, go to www.thenovachurch.com. We're excited to share this week's message with you. God bless.
I just want to be with you, God.
Just want to be with you.
Oh, yes, God. Yes, God. That's it. Go ahead and just begin to close your eyes and talk to Him. Don't worry about who's around you. Don't worry about who they think you're, what they say. But I wonder if you would just tell Him that. Go ahead and begin to let yourself go. Go ahead and get out of your comfort zone a little bit. Go ahead and stretch your praise a little bit right now. He's been so good to you. I wonder if you could just tell Him that right now. Say, God, You're the King of glory. I just want to be with You. I've tried other things, but God, I want to be with You this morning. God, I bow down and say, God, You're God. I bow down and say, You're King. I bow down and I worship You today, Jesus. As I come into Your presence, I bow down this morning, oh God. Fill this place, mighty God, mighty God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise You. We magnify You. That's okay. It's in order. Hallelujah. 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 God, we worship You. We lift You up right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord is here. I feel just the Spirit of God is swept into this room. Amen. I'm just going to step out by faith right now. I wonder if you have a need from God, you just lift your hand right now. I want you by faith just to begin to ask that of whatever God needs. I'm here today to tell you if you need it, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Amen. I wonder if right now by faith you would let your faith match your worship and begin to say, God, I speak it right now. God, I believe You're going to do this. You're going to heal. You're going to deliver. God, You're going to touch those people right now. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, You're going to touch right now Bill and Lena, God. Lord, You're going to touch the Medina situation right now in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, You're going to begin to make a way right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I believe it right now in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, You're going to begin to have it happen right now in the name of Jesus. I thank You for God, we speak it into existence. We ask it of You, oh King of Kings. And God, You can do it, and we declare it and we believe it. For God, I press toward that mark. My faith reaches forth, God. In the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody just begin to thank Him in advance for it. Thank Him in advance for it. Oh, I thank You, God. It's not here yet, but it's coming. It may not be where I can see it, but I know You're working on it. My faith is at a high right now. Hallelujah. My faith is just skyrocketing. I believe God's going to do it right now. I believe there's miracles that are happening right now. I believe there's signs that's happening right now. I believe it's going to happen. In the name of Jesus. For is anything too hard for the Lord? That is what Sarah pondered when she received a promise. She was going to birth a child in her years. Logically, it didn't make sense. Physically, it went against the laws of nature. People people would have told her over and over, it is impossible. But if I can speak to somebody, and I don't know who needs this word today, but I feel led of the Holy Ghost to tell somebody that for with men it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible to them that believe. I know you don't know if what it looks like, and you may not have the answers, and you may not know how, but I can tell you that with God, it can happen. It will happen. I don't know who that's for this morning, but I just feel directed of God. Is it too hard for God to do? Feel that in the Holy Ghost this morning. Amen. Let us move very quickly. Micah chapter 6, John chapter 1. Get your Bible. Sunday school is dismissed. Nursery, if you have a little one under 2, we have nursery available this morning. Jenny is here, our certified, I don't know what a technical title would be of a nurserier. We'll work on that. That'll be an ongoing project for 2020. We have a great nursery, though. Take advantage. Amen. Amen. Get your Bible. We believe it's inspired in the infallible words of God. And John chapter 1. It's our lifeline. I read the text last week. I'll read it again for the sake of just maybe Pastor will actually get to his text, but I wouldn't count on it. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, said in verse 37, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, said unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. In our theme this year of 2020, I want to preach to you today on this subject, the direction of a disciple. Turn to two or three people and tell somebody the direction of a disciple, and you may be seated. I had a nephew who a few years ago, now it was actually almost a decade ago, he was about 9 or 10 years old, and he was in New York City. And if you've ever been in New York City, you know that in Times Square, it can be a madhouse of people. Crowds and people and hustle and bustle and I mean, if you are fearful of crowds, you want to avoid Times Square. Okay, we know who the people who are fearful of crowds are right there. We're glad you're here today. And when he was there and all of a sudden he must have mistaken as a 9-year-old does, and it can easily happen in Times Square as it's filled with lights and advertisements and signs and it's like the billboard mecca of the world, right? I mean, everybody's got a billboard or an ad, and they're moving, and they're rotating, and there's colors, and there's sights and sounds and characters. And oh my, if you're a kid, there's all these creepy people dressed up as characters, and Stranger Danger is very, very high in Times Square, if I could be honest, right? You could see Iron Man or whatever it is. And so he's probably looking around, and he happened to think that he was following his father, only to realize after a short while that someone that was wearing a similar coat and looked just like his dad, when he turned around, he realized that was not my dad. And for a few moments, he began to panic, and instantly he began to cry. And understandably such, can you imagine, there's thousands of people around you and you can't see your father and you're this big and you're looking around trying to find, where's my dad? He quickly retreated to his steps that he thought he was at the last place, and his dad found him and snatched him up, and he was just so thankful that he had found his dad. He thought he was following his dad. He intended to follow his dad, but yet he got mistaken somewhere along the way in the process of following. We find that sometimes there are people that fall into a similar trajectory, that they think that they're following something only to realize upon closer examination that they are not. And we know that following is a choice. The Bible talks about following. It mentions follow and following 253 times. For a fun word study, go look them all up. But what we know is that who you follow and what you follow and where you follow is a choice. See, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says, "For even hereunto where you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps." Today, the simple premise I say is, first, we must find Jesus. But just because we find him does not mean that's the end. We must find Jesus, and then we must commit to follow Jesus. The reason some don't follow is they don't even want to find. But when you do find the Lord, you can get a desire to follow the Lord. See, when you have tasted the goodness of God, and you have tasted how great he is, and you have felt the presence of God, and you've seen the goodness of God in your life, when he's rescued you out of the grips of sin by the grace of God, you don't want to follow anything else. You don't want to turn to something else. When you have explored everything, and it doesn't satisfy, and yet you come into a walk, into a relationship with God, that's when you begin to want to follow the things of God. Can I get a witness today? Can I remind somebody of the days and the dark nights in which you didn't walk with the Lord, and you didn't have the Lord, and you felt empty inside? Can I get a witness to somebody where you had a testimony? He said, "I've been there, Pastor, and I know what you're talking about, where I don't know where to go, and I don't know what to turn to, and I tried drinking, and that didn't satisfy. I tried drugs and it didn't fill. And I tried this and it didn't just hit the spot. I tried one more hit and one more party and one more this and one more that, and I still felt empty. But there's something about the presence of God. There was something about feeling the presence of God that satisfied, that said, I don't know what it is, but I want more of it. I don't know where it comes from, but I want more of it. I don't know, but what I know is I do want more." Somebody that can testify of the days and the nights in which you cried for no reason because you felt hopeless. Can I get a witness, somebody? Even if I may, if probably you may have grown up in the church and maybe backslid, maybe made decisions that were not the right decisions, obviously. And you found yourself like the prodigal son that has drifted to a place where you thought it was good, only to wake up and realize, I had it better in my father's house. I had it better back in the father's house. I thought that the world had something to offer. I thought that it looked fun and it looked appealing and it looked like something. But can I preach to you today is what the world likes to frame and to package as looking good. What we know in the truth is that it may look good for a season, but what you don't know is when the results of after it looks good and after the party's over and after the fun is done, that's when it no longer is broadcast of how great it looks is when someone's hung over or someone has got a DUI. They don't broadcast that as the sin. They don't broadcast the results of the drugs, of meth, of when you lost all your teeth. Can I get a witness, somebody? It's like this. I heard a story, somebody that was telling me of this guy, and they said, man, he's been good. He had a little bit of a rough season, and he was in church all his life. Then he backslid, and somehow he got caught up on meth and lost all his teeth. But God's good, and he came back to church, but he still ain't got his teeth. Praising God right there. Hallelujah, somebody. I was like, you know, I think they can fix that. And, you know, 2020 is an amazing year. They got to have a solution for that, right? Can I get a witness? Dentures or something? I don't know. But what I do know is the results and the consequences of sin are always steady and always consistent. See, people say, but the world and but what we know is that God is good. And after you've seen the world, some people say, no, I've seen what they've done. I've tried what they tried, and it doesn't fit. You can only do so much before you start to say, you know what, isn't there more to life than this? Isn't there more to life than just going? Isn't there something greater? And I'm here today to tell you, there is something greater, and it is not here, but it is when we die. And after we take our last breath, and we can begin to say, I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I'm going to be in the presence of God. The Bible says that when you get into the presence of God, you're going to be so awe that you're going to just be in silence of this is the Savior. This is the Almighty. This is the glory in which the angels cry, holy, holy, holy. That is what's something great. And we just get a little taste of it here. But when I get there is what I'm looking for. It's heaven that I want to make my home. And what we know is that we must follow Jesus. See, the Apostle John did not just write the gospel, but in his third book, 3 John chapter 1 and verse 11, he said, Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Because he that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. See, he's saying follow God. Follow what is good. Follow what is of God, and it will lead you in the right direction. It will lead you in the right path. In our opening scripture in John chapter 1, if I can hurry this morning, it is the fact that Jesus is literally encouraging his future disciples. He says unto them, come and see. And he invites them, and they come and see where he's saying, and they're with him for that day. And the disciples, they have a choice when he says, come and see. Can I just remind our church that Jesus is for everybody? It was an open invitation. He's not an exclusive God. He is an inclusive God. He is not intolerant. He wants everybody to come and see. He says, come and see and dwell with me. But the disciples, they had a choice. They could walk with him or walk away from him. But there's a key question in the middle of that. See, they're following Jesus. And in the middle of following Jesus, get the picture, he turns and says, what seek ye? Get the picture today. You ever had somebody follow you? It's creeping you out. Stalker. You're like, didn't I just see you? That's where I usually have two theories in my mind. Sometimes, like on the metro, I'll get on the metro, and then I'll get off the metro, and I'll look down, and I'll be like, there they are. And then I think one of two things. I'm either the main character in the Truman Show. Anybody ever seen the Truman Show? Wow. I would tell you to go watch it, but you were about to do a media fast. Wow. Okay. I'm the main actor in my own TV show. Get the picture, okay? Or I'm a secret government agent. I'm an operative. And they think I'm someone too. And that's like when I like to think I'm like Mission Impossible, James Bond. I'm about to go CIA moment on them. I'm like, they're trailing me. They want intel. I'm not going to give it to them. Sometimes I'll get off the train, get on the train. I just, you know, I don't know. It's my mind, right? I'm like, I don't know. Are they following me? What's going on here? What's going on? Do they know me? Are they going to trail me? I don't know. Some of you are thinking, Pastor, why are you so paranoid? What are you hiding? Nothing. I don't know. It's, you know, pray for your pastor. Someone come take the mic. He needs to. Okay. But he says, get the picture. They're following him. And he turns and he says, what seek ye? And the question is so loaded that we can even ask it today. What are you seeking today, 2020, this morning? And the short answer is it depends. Well, it depends on who you are. See, if you are looking for something and you're trying to find God today, you have walked into this place and you are seeking this Jesus. You are seeking the depths of God. You're seeking a relationship. You're maybe seeking even salvation. You're seeking to be born again. Perhaps you're seeking the Holy Ghost with the infilling of the Spirit inside of you. You could even receive that today with beginning to receive the Lord living inside of you and speaking with other tongues. You can receive that. Some people may be seeking the freedom of guilt and the freedom and consequences of their past and the shame in which they are. Some people are seeking peace, and they're saying, I need this, and I've tried everything else out in the world, but I don't know. And some people are seeking Jesus, but if you are a believer this morning, perhaps you are not necessarily seeking Jesus. Perhaps you've already been born again. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you've received the Holy Ghost. Maybe it's something else that you seek. And for him, you could be seeking to be a disciple of Christ. See, that is what we must desire this morning. Morning is I would encourage you in our pursuit of this year is to seek Jesus as a disciple, not just as a believer, not just as a spectator, not as a participant, not as somebody that's skeptical. But could it be that Jesus is asking us to be a disciple of Christ and to follow him? And when he asked them, they're already following. They're already in the process. And he asked them the question, basically, what do you want? And that is the question I submit to you this morning. So what do you want from your walk with God? Your neighbor can't answer it. Your spouse can't answer it. Your mama or your daddy can't answer it. The only person that can really ask that and answer that is you. Is what do you desire from your walk with God? I would hope and my prayer and my open agenda is I would hope to make you this year a passionate, committed disciple of Jesus. And to follow him and to follow his word and to get into the presence of God and to be like the disciples that we read about that wrote the New Testament, that penned the words that we read of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and the Apostle Paul and Peter who wrote those things. As we read the words, I encourage us to follow and be a disciple like they are, and to be a direction of a disciple is to follow the Lord and to say, I'm going to follow you in everything I can do. And what that means is in some context, we've got to flee certain things, because you can't have the right direction with sometimes holding on to some stuff. Because if you hold on to some stuff, what I've learned is that it throws the alignment off. Now, Pastor has about no knowledge of a car, okay? I barely know how to press the gas pedal, okay? But in my only understanding of things I've messed up in a car, is the alignment thing, okay, right? And so I thank God for cars that they tell you more stuff than just lights, right? Because when the light would come on in a car, I'd be like, I don't know what that means, but there's a light on. And I threw away the user manual, so now I'm Googling lights, right? And you ever Google lights on car? I mean, it's very unhelpful, folks. I'm just going to save you. Save the manual is the moral of the story. But sometimes I'll Google, and then you try to describe light. The light has fuzzy lines, and it looks like a sunshine. What's the sunshine light in the car? Google doesn't have a clue on that either. Like, this guy's a dope, right? They're like, dismiss guy from Google. But in context, what we find is that the light will often tell us, and what you learn is if there's something off on one of the sides, it can throw the alignment off on the car, where if the tire pressure isn't there, it can cause you to throw off the alignment, to twist you into a direction, and if you let go of the steering wheel, the car will veer, and it will move over, and there are things that can cause us to get out of alignment if we hold on to them. And that is why Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, he says, flee these things, but follow after righteousness. Follow after godliness. Follow after faith. Follow after love and patience and meekness. He said, if you want to follow God, if you are seeking to be a disciple, he said, you've got to follow after these things. But then he said, it's not just always following. Sometimes you're going to follow, but it's going to get rough. And so Paul then in his wisdom writes to Timothy, he says, so follow righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. And some of y'all got that down and you've done a great job. You're checking the boxes. Pastor, I've done meekness and I'm following with faith, and I love people, and I'm godly, and I'm following righteousness. But then he goes on in the very next sentence and says, but fight the good fight of faith. I'm here to remind you that just because you follow God doesn't mean you're going to have to fight for some stuff. Just because you follow God doesn't mean there's going to be hurt. Just because you're following God doesn't mean there's going to be some turmoil or some pain or some persecution. But what we know is just because it comes doesn't mean that we're not in it alone. Because just because it comes doesn't mean we got to face it by our side. Because if we're facing it, there's probably a good reason. There's a process of it. And he's going to make you stronger when you come out of it. He's going to make you better when you come out of it. It's going to be a testimony in which you can say, I've made it through this thing. But he goes on to say then, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called. And watch this. And have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Part of being a disciple, part of being a dynamic disciple, is being a professing witness. Disciples produce disciples. I didn't think I'd get a lot of amens on that, but I'm thankful for those who did. What that means is there ought to be some fruit. Right, Derek? There ought to be something that you can point to and say, I'm not in this to gain. But I'm here this to show people the same way that I have been shown. See, the disciples, that's why Jesus said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, and make disciples. How do you make a disciple? Well, you teach and you follow and you grow together. And part of that is understanding that I'm going to do that in my life. In today, I'm going to try to help other people follow the Lord the same way that I am following. And that's what we have to understand, is I'm going to follow God. And so when Jesus asked the question to those people, follow him, he says, what seek ye? And they respond, we want to see where you dwell, where you inhabit. Can I preach for a second? Derek, they ain't ready for me today, okay? I'm coming in hot. I had a venti coffee with 3 raw sugars, okay? It's coming in today. Next week, maybe I'll only have 2 raw sugars. We'll go back to normal, okay? But today, we going in. And pastor's mad tired. But here's what I know. What was my point? Where was I going with that? I was talking about coffee and, oh, yeah. I'm going to preach a second. Here we go. Insert preaching here. Check. Ready? I'm back. I'm hanging with you. You pray for a pastor. I was in St. Louis. I got like 12 hours of sleep in 2 days. And then the plane. I'll tell you this, too. God is good, somebody. I probably flown about 300 times. I had the worst turbulence. I started speaking in tongues on the plane for about 15 minutes. I was like, God, I'm going to die. I promise, I'm about to see you. And I was like, Lord, please let, you know what, if you ever think you're about to die, you pray real prayers. Can I get a witness, somebody? This is not what I was fixing to preach. I'll get to that in a moment, but I think I can be a good preacher and tie it in. So that's what good preachers do. They go on tangents and they tie it back into their point. And that's why I'm not a good preacher. I just go on tangents. But in this case, I was on the plane and I was like, I'm telling you, we dropped. At one point, I had my coffee. My coffee was up here. I was like, it's spilling. I was like, oh, you know. I started praying, God, if I die, I'm sorry. If I've done anything wrong, forgive me. I'm sorry for stuff I didn't even do. God, if I committed murder, I didn't even know it. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. I'm making sure I'm right with God. And what I know is that when I was doing that, I was saying, God, if this thing goes down, Lord, I want to make sure I go to heaven because I want to see where you dwell. And actually, that's the same thing that the disciples asked. See, they said, we want to see where you dwell. We want to see where you are. We want to see where you abode. That should be the desire of us as God. I want to see where you dwell. I want to see where you are. I want to see where you dwell. And I know you don't just dwell here. I know the earth is your footstool, but I know heaven is your home. And that's what I want to see. I want to see heaven. I want to get there where I can live with you, where there's no more pain and no more sorrow and no more hurt and there's no more evil. That's what I want to desire in my life. And that's what they said. They said, I want to see where you dwell. But then their response, it was an indicator of their motive. And I've got like 3 more minutes, so let me see if I can crash course this thing and drive this into the ground. But when we understand that, God, I'm not just doing this for personal gain, but God, I'm doing this so I can connect with you because I love you. And that's when we seek God and we follow him, because it comes out of a love of our heart. When you love God, you're willing to do anything and everything. When you love someone, not just like some people. I like some of y'all. I should stop right there. The filter. Musicians come. Thank you, Sister Jessica. I'm sure my wife sent her. I didn't even call for that set. She was already halfway up the aisle before my... Great to have my wife in here. I can't wait to hear the response of how this message went. This will probably not be on the podcast, folks, okay? We're just going to scratch this whole thing off. Come back next week. We'll have a whole nother shot, okay? Let's see. Where were we going? If you really love God, you'll seek him. You really will. And when you love something and you love somebody, you're willing to give selflessly, even if it doesn't benefit you. See, when you like somebody, you say, oh, how does this benefit me? It's usually something that you're looking for to come back. But when you love them, you're willing to selflessly sacrifice. And when we seek God and we love him, that's when we say, God, I just love you because you've been so good to me. And that's where the power of following is. See, first we find, then we must follow. And when we follow is when we find fulfillment. And that's when we understand. Some of us have found him, and some of us like to watch him and kind of follow from a distance. But if we really want to find fulfillment, it's when we follow God. We have people who can be absent of purpose, absent of hope, and absent of direction, and that's the result, not the cause. And they don't have hope, and they're aimlessly wandering because they've lost direction. And when you lose direction, you end up at the wrong destination. Few years ago, I was driving, and I told this story in the past, but it serves so well as this illustration. A few years ago, I had went and staying at camp, and it was like 3 hours, and I left at like 11, so I got in at like 2 in the morning. And as I'm driving there, I'd never stayed at my normal hotels. I normally stay at 1 or 2 different hotels, and found something on Hotwire, and it sent me to this other hotel. So I put in the address, and I'm on the phone talking with somebody, and as we're discussing it, you know, following the GPS, it pulls up and says, you have arrived at your destination. And I look, and I'm out in the middle of a cornfield. I look to the left, there's a bunch of cows. I look to the right, and there ain't nothing out there. I said, what do you mean my destination, yo? I look behind me, there's no lights. I'm like, I feel like Jesus sleeping in a manger. What is this? And so I went and I looked back at the directions, and the input was one letter off. Instead of northwest, it was supposed to be northeast. And all of a sudden, I realized I'm about 30 minutes away from where I thought I ended up. And because of such, I then had to drive all the way over there and got in even later because I thought I was going in the right direction and I was moving. But you can't always mistake activity for productivity. Not everything is even, you know, even spirituality, right? Activity doesn't mean spiritual. Just because people are busy doing the work of God doesn't mean that they have the love of God. And you see that with Mary and Martha. We have Mary and Martha, and I don't have time to preach this, Sister Jessica, if you want to come. But there's people that are so entitled with the work of God and doing the work of God that they miss the relationship with God. And Jesus says to Martha, 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 Mary hath chosen the good thing, being into a walk with him and a relationship with him. This week, I had the opportunity to spend with 60 other men that represent their states as we came together for planning for the year as youth president. And I'm always encouraged to rub shoulders with peers, people. Iron sharpens iron. And as I was doing such, one of our great friends, good peers, his name's Dan McLeod. I was kind of giving Dan a hard time. Such a great guy. I've always given him a hard time. He's a good friend of mine. And he pastored and started a church in Nova Scotia. Some of y'all want to complain about weather. Say, thank God I don't live in Canada, right? And so he's in Canada, and he starts a church. And he went on a trip overseas, an AYC trip, a youth corps trip. He goes overseas, and God starts working on his heart about the call to missions. He's full-time at his church, pastors a great church, started it, pastors it, serving the kingdom of God. Goes home. And he starts to feel God's call and pull to the mission field. And then something happens. God starts working on his wife. And they decide that they're going to go become missionaries. And so last September he told me, I'm going to go become a missionary. Wow. He said, that's where God's leading me. And so this week, we had lunch together. We're sitting on the bus, and I was asking what you're doing. And he's going to 10 different countries in the Middle East to help train pastors because there's people that want training to reach other people, but they can't get someone to teach them. So he says, you know, I'm going to do this. He said, I sold all my books. I had a massive library. I sold all my books. He said, I even sold my tennis shoes. I said, you know they run overseas too, right? You may need those. He said, I sold it all. He said, I'll buy more or something. He said, but I needed every ounce of every penny. He said, it's not really mine anyways. He said, it's all God's. Resigned his church. Moving his two beautiful, his family, his wife, he's moving his kids across the world where now he's going to live away from his family. He's going to live away from the in-laws, live away from his parents. And he's going to travel into countries. And some of the countries are access challenge countries in which if he's caught, he goes to jail. But he's willing to make the sacrifice. 32 years old. Because he wants to go and to follow the call of God to help make disciples and to train people to make disciples. I told Dan at the table, I said, Dan, before you leave, I need you to come preach to my church. I said, I'm convicted right here that I said, I'm not doing enough for the kingdom of God. I said, when I compare probably myself to you, which I shouldn't compare, but it's kind of hard not to. I said, man, I'm really probably not doing a fraction of what I could be. And tears kind of start to swell up in my eyes as we're eating our sandwiches. I just said, you know, I envy you for following the call of God, selling all that you have for the sake of the gospel. It's easy to say that we want to follow God, but what happens when God tells you to sacrifice? And what happens when God tells you to sell? And what happens when God tells you to go? What happens when God tells you to get outside of your comfort zone? See, it's an issue of the heart. When you begin to sacrifice and say, God, this isn't how I would have designed it, but God says, I have you there for a reason, to fight the fight, to help reach people, to help find people with the gospel. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's all stand. It starts with the heart. When the call of God happens, that's when I give it to God. Not my preference, not my convenience. What seek ye? God, I just want to go where you want me to go. Proverbs 4 says, keep your heart. Catch this. This is the whole premise of the message right here. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then the proverb goes on to say, put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips, but let your eyes, watch this, look right on, straight before you, and ponder the path of thy feet. Let your ways be established. Turn not to the right and not to the left, and remove your foot from evil. Today, the direction of us as disciples following is, God, help me not to get distracted with the things of this world. Help me not to get distracted and turn to the right or to the left, but help me to keep my eyes straight forward on the thing. For I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. I press forward, and it starts with the heart. Today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder if you would begin to say, God, examine my heart. God, help my heart today, that as I'm called to follow, as I'm called to sacrifice, as I'm called to be active in my pursuit, to be a light to the world, to share the gospel, to be a disciple, to model Jesus. Father, I ask today, God, that my heart be desiring of thee, that I may follow you, that I may seek you, God, that I may find the fulfillment that comes only from following, not, God, just from being a spectator or a participator. But Father, help us today that we may seek and that we may find. Help us today, oh God, that we may desire something more. I wonder if you would want something greater in your life. I wonder if you would come down to the front and find a place that you could find an altar of sacrifice and consecration and say, God, I give you my all. I give you my everything. I give you my passion. I give you my love. I give you my heart today. For keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. For Lord, I pray that, God, am I creating disciples? Am I sacrificing? Am I moving in the direction and the dimension that you want me to do? Or Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, help me to not get distracted with the day to day. Help me, oh God, to not be lost. Help me, oh God, to follow what you've called me to follow. Help me, God, not to get distracted with the wrong destination. I wonder if you would just lift your hands, and I wonder if right now you would lift your voice and let that be your prayer as God is speaking to you, as God is desiring you. He said you can come and find. He said you can come and follow. He said you can come in the name of Jesus. He said you can come. What seek ye? What seek ye this morning? I wonder if you would commit yourselves to seeking God. Commit yourselves to seeking His will.
Well, let's do that right now, church. As one church, as one people of God, as the children of God, let's lift our hands together right now in unity. Father, we dedicate ourselves unto you right now, Lord. Lord, nothing is more important than your calling today, Jesus. Lord, I believe you're renewing callings in this place right now, Jesus. Lord, for those that are called according to your word, for your purpose, for your glory, Lord. Lord, and right now we lay aside every weight. Lord, we lay aside every affliction, everything that might separate us from where we are to where you're calling us to go, Lord, to what you're calling us to do, Lord, as your people of God. Lord, in this world that needs you. And Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you would use every single person that is in this place. Lord, that you would awaken us, oh God, to our purpose in this world. Lord, for you've not only called us to be disciples, Lord, but you've called us to be your representation in this world. Lord, you've called us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the kingdom. Oh, Jesus, and that which you've called us to do, you will equip us to do, Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel this in the Holy Spirit right now. I want to talk to somebody right now. King David said it best when he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But for some of you here, when you look in the rearview mirror of your life, you don't see goodness and mercy. You see your past creeping up on you. You see something that you can't seem to separate yourself from. But this is not the will of God for your life. Hear me. The will of God is for you to live blessed. The will of God is for you to pursue what God has called you to do. But we need to come out of this mindset of weakness. We need to come out of this mindset that I'm not anyone. I want to tell you right now, I was born with a speech impediment. I was not able to speak clearly, to articulate anything. I was what some of you might call a stutterer. In my entire life, I lived backwards. I was socially awkward. I could not talk to people. I would shake and have fear if I was ever asked to speak in front of someone. But when I was 18 years old, the Lord God called me. He saved me. He forgave me of all my sins, and He washed me and He cleansed me. But He didn't fill me with the Spirit. But I felt called to teach. I felt called to preach His word. And God gave me a love for the things of the word, but I physically was not able to teach. And I would teach Bible studies and I would stumble through it, and it was embarrassing and I didn't feel effective. And one night I came before the Lord, and hear me. And I said, Lord, You've called me. You said you've called me to preach and to make disciples, but I physically am not able to do it. My family isn't in church. I'm no one. I'm not a preacher. And I said, God, you've got to heal me. And the next morning I woke up and I was healed. And I never stuttered, hear me, hear me, hear me. I don't say this to elevate myself. I say this to tell you that whatever weakness you think hinders you, whatever weakness the enemy's put in your life, I want to tell you that is a lie from the pits of hell. That if you'll just surrender yourself to God, that which seems impossible for the Lord, let me tell you, nothing is impossible. And I want to tell you right now, I just wonder if we can lift our hands one more time and we just change our attitude and say, God, that which you have called me to do, you will also enable me to do it. I may not be able to see the way, but God, I know right now you're making a way. Yes, Lord, and let's just one more time in unity, let's lift our hands. And let's just start to lift our voice unto God. Let's just start to surrender unto God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We don't always know the path. We don't always see the way. But Father, we know the way maker. And Lord, right now, I'm ready to move beyond my past. And I'm ready to embrace the present. I'm ready to move into the future. And I believe the things that you said about me. That I am chosen, that I am your child, that I'm able, that I'm more than a conqueror. Yes, Lord, and someone that is more than a conqueror is not just someone that wins a battle, but it's someone that's accustomed to living a life of victory. And Lord, right now I declare victory over my past. Lord, I declare victory over my present. And I declare victory over my future. In the name of Jesus, and not just for me, but for my children and for those that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And church, let's go forward with this message, with this. In the name of Jesus, let's go forward in faith in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. I want us to, as we get ready to go into our closing part of the service, I wonder if right now, I just want us to be honest, and sometimes a public confession is a good